Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games. Sometimes hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys.
Sometimes.
Thank you very much for joining us. Sometimes. My name is Tommy Dasilo.
Sometimes.
Literally sometimes.
When will this get old? Never.
Sometimes.
With,
it's already old.
With me, as always,
Ben Vanel. And with me, as always, Real Monsters.
What are you, not a barbershop quartet?
Okay.
I was pointing up.
Yeah.
I thought you wanted more lights on.
I thought we were going to get louder.
No, let's try it again. Let's go.
No, yeah. I don't want to do it now. The magic's gone.
No, well, I don't think there was magic to begin with. What? I'm not meant to, aren't I meant to like add in another instrument?
But not just a random one.
Well, okay, you do yours again. What should I be?
The same tune, but a different note, octave.
Let's do a barbershop quartet doing like a Skrillex song.
Fuck, okay. It needs to be something that I can jump in on and actually match.
Go and buy a bus ticket!
Good shit, boys. We are we're up on Sportsbet.
Yes.
Oh, are we doing that?
Yeah, should we?
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah,
all right.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. We talked about it last week. We are nominated for Gaming Publication of the Year in the Australian Games Awards.
Well done.
Sometimes.
And as a result of that, because you can bet on everything now on Sportsbet, we're on there. And we didn't mention it last episode because we had this canny plan to bet on ourselves.
Yes.
Because our odds were pretty high.
And then we basically freaked out like the little babies we are and we're like, can you bet on yourself? What if we get in trouble?
Yeah. So when we discovered it, we were at $51. I checked it a couple days later and we were down to $31.
Yeah. Yes.
And I'm just looking up what we're on now. I wonder if we've taken another hit based on the based on the online activity.
Based on the popularity of this show.
No, we're still on 31.
Oh, okay. We'll go vote then and make it even worse of a proposition for us to bet on ourselves.
Yeah, well, you'd have to bet. It wouldn't be voting. It would be betting.
One. So you're saying that the reason our odds would have changed is because people bet on us.
The only way that odds change, yeah.
Impossible.
There's no way anyone bet on us.
Well, someone sent it to me and someone else has seen it, one of our listeners, and posted it on our Facebook page.
So you're saying two people have bet on it?
Hey, in a market that small, it very well could be two people betting on us.
Fuck. I wish I'd have gotten in at 51.
I was going to get in on 51.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys are really, you guys really suck, hey?
Yeah. It's too late now, though. Like, if I had put money in, I would have been flogging it a lot harder this week in terms of getting people to vote.
Yeah.
Like my thing was, I'll put like $100 on.
Yes.
That's like $5,000.
Yep.
And then just go hard.
Go bonkers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still want us to win. I still want everyone go to Australian Games Awards, Google search, and then vote for us in Best Gaming Publication.
Yeah.
Yeah. It still would be cool if we won. But also now we've found out what you have to pay to go along.
Yes.
I think we're a lot less enthusiastic.
So I put a small bet on, and if I won that bet, I would still only make a few hundred dollars if I paid the entry fee.
Yeah, right.
Right, right. You did bet.
Yeah.
So you shrunk our odds.
Like, I guess so,
you
yeah.
son of a
you
bitch.
You fucking cunt. Well, that's a third of that is our money.
You are...
that's my money.
We're aware of...
We're talking gambling. I'm going to break your legs.
You're all aware of the possibility of betting.
Oh, listen, Ayn Rand. I'm impressed by this. I'm turned on by your confidence.
Why didn't you just do it?
Dude, I should build my own railroad.
Hey, I've heard in the past that gambling tears families apart, but now I'm actually seeing it in action. We haven't stopped fighting since we brought this up.
Yeah, I think I have a fundamental, like, moral thing against gambling, possibly.
Right.
But not like a serious one, just one of those.
Like a really nice intellectual one where you don't have to really get invested or involved.
Yeah.
You just get to sit on a moral high horse.
I just think it's... I don't know.
And then bet on the horse that it's going to win.
Dude, imagine. I think my problem is more that I think I would be destroyed by it if I ever dipped my toe in.
Mm-hmm. That
same as with fucking amiibos.
Yeah, I do feel a little bit the same. Like when we were first talking about the odds being 51, I was like, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
It just the hurdle of actually going and doing it and committing to clicking through.
Oh.
I was like, this feels weird.
Yeah.
Even if it's for a joke, for a pod, and it's like, I can effectively rig this by just pushing it so hard on the podcast and on Facebook and everything.
Yeah.
I still was just like, I don't know, this feels like...
I don't have the best self-control. And especially if we ended up winning this and I got the $5,000...
Absolutely.
Then come June, I'm living in a box.
It's like that really small-scale version of the guys who win like $20 million in the lotto and end up owing $40 million.
Exactly. The NBA players who are like, I've got a yacht and no income.
So you'd be living in a box as opposed to now where you live in an empty room with no furniture set up in
it. It's actually covered in boxes because I spent all of my money on fucking furniture from IKEA and shit, and I haven't had time to set it up. Ugh. So it is just a real depressing little room there.
You also busted your foot.
Oh, yeah.
On the weekend.
The building I moved into has these dumbass little fucking benches at the front.
Yeah, you were describing this in our group chat.
Yeah.
And we couldn't work out what you meant. You were like, these little seat things that are stuck into the ground. It was like, what are you talking about?
You were so angry. It was like, oh, did someone like put them there by accident or like leave them there, like rubbish?
Well, like effectively, they're built in.
Are you talking about like a bench at a tram stop?
No, but it's a bench that is like a one-person seater bench and it's lower than that. So it's like fucking shin height. It is really low.
Is that a bench for ants?
It's a bench for fucking reckon anyone who goes near it, because I was outside at about 11 p.m.
Okay.
To pick up an Uber Eats order.
Okay. Interesting. Because my speculation was, because you part of you framed it, you were like, it was pitch black and I couldn't see. I was like, you were drunk.
No.
You were coming home drunk and you fell over a seat.
Not true. I was leaving home hungry.
Okay, interesting.
And then I turned around after saying thank you very much to my new friend, the Uber driver.
Yep. Yes. 5 stars, mate.
His name was?
And then I span around.
That's a weird name.
I span around, immediately looked at my phone, as is my 2018, right?
You're allowed, yeah.
And because of that, partly, but also because they're painted the color of darkness, and I fucking was walking real quick. And
the Shape of Water, the color of darkness.
There's no reason for it to be there. It's literally like...
It's for sitting on.
Imagine a field... And then put one fucking bench right in the middle of it.
I reckon you'd be able to avoid the seat.
Yes.
No, because...
All you have to do is look around.
No, because there's no reason for it to be... There's other ones around too, but this one is just on its own in the middle of what is definitely a path. And the rest of the way, other than this one bench, is all open pathway. You could... Fucking catapult yourself.
You've got to have us around so we can see this bench.
Absolutely.
I don't want a car. I've got no interest in coming into your house. I just want to see this
bench.
You're
more than welcome to come. I will fucking take a photo of it.
Oh, I'm more than welcome to come to the street outside where you live to a public area.
I'd love to see a photo.
You can see a photo. I just realized, like, maybe I won't take a photo of my house.
Take a photo facing away from the house.
That's still identifiable.
You know what?
Well, I guess
you said it was just a field.
Can you type your address? Type your address under notes. Show it to me, and I'll look it up on Street View on Google Maps.
It won't work because the building is like in the middle of a thing, of a complex.
Fuck.
What?
It's look.
So this is inside the building?
No, out the front. But there's a number of buildings in the one area.
Yeah.
As is the case with most this places. This is a city.
Yeah, it's just a city.
Are they going to work out where you live now, all the fans now?
I don't know.
Said
he's
that?
Saying it's a field, now it's a city. I don't know what's going on. There's he's
like,
lying.
There's like a sort of driveway thing through the middle.
Okay.
And just to the left of that is walking space, mm-hmm. other than 1 square meter, yes. which is this fucking shin-high bench that I fucking whacked the shit out of my toe on.
Yeah.
Just absolute.
And fell to the ground?
You don't realize how fast you're walking when you're walking, but you're putting a lot of power into every stride. Do you know what I mean? Have you ever, like, without, like, not at all noticed that you're about to go into something and you're like, fuck, I was going.
Yeah. You know what's interesting? Every now and then this thought will pop into my head of, isn't it crazy how you can just walk without having to think about how you're walking?
Yeah.
Like, you just do it. And every time that pops into my head, I nearly fall over within seconds of, like, thinking that.
It's like if you think about swallowing, like, or breathing or blinking or any of those, like, backwards processes.
Yeah.
The backwards part of your brain is a lot better at it than the front.
Mm. Exactly. And it's depressing to have that happen where it's like the minute you become aware of it, you nearly fall over. And that makes you realize, I am on the knife's edge of falling over. Well, so literally constantly throughout the day.
Yeah.
If you've ever seen someone walk into a glass door.
Yes.
Or like walk into a pole without having seen the pole first.
Yep.
They fucking hit it. Mm-hmm. And I did that with this little fucking thing. And I went, you know, I tripped
ass
over. I was trying to think of a phrase that was an ass over tit, because I'm like, that's like a real 60s thing to say.
Head over heels.
Nah, that's like a real 20s thing to say.
I think ass over tit.
I went fucking iPhone over Apple Watch.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, nice.
And I
you're just looking at Tommy for that.
I kept the Uber Eats intact and then smashed my phone up.
Yep.
And my body. And anyway, my big toenail's gonna come off.
Ooh.
Real? What do you mean? You're gonna have it surgically removed?
Yeah, I'm sick of the thing.
Okay.
No, separate story. I
it
guess.
Like it got really bashed.
Like blue?
Bleeding it like hell. Ugh. It's real disgusting. And this morning, I fucking got my towel on it by mistake. I've had a hell of a time. And I didn't have any fucking like Savlon or anything because I just moved into this place.
Yeah.
So I poured some Listerine on it.
Yes, you told me
because
this.
Because it's got like, it's antibacterial.
Yeah. Okay.
It fucking worked.
Yeah.
Not, look, my toes.
Your feet smell beautiful.
Yeah.
No gingivitis down there.
I poured it on the toe and after a second, the toe went boom. Like its cheeks went out.
Oh,
like
yeah,
that
like
ad.
Yeah.
Look it up.
I don't think I get very angry like much. Like every now and then. But I think typically I'm a pretty placid person.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell you what, when I stub a toe, that is the thing that makes me understand like genuine rage.
Mm. Yeah.
The fucking fury that you go into for those 10 seconds afterwards where it's like...
Yeah.
If I had a fucking weapon here right now, that'd be it. I'd just be fucking shooting the place up.
This was like 40 minutes of me being in that state afterwards. Because it was that, like, but then also the thing is fucking stupid when you look at it. There's no reason for it to be there.
But you
it's
wouldn't
probably to stop kids from skating or
but
something
it's the combination
like that.
Of like that extreme physical pain that comes out of nowhere that catches you surprise, coupled with the anger at yourself that you've walked into this thing.
Yeah.
It's those two at once is just
but
like, it's so much to fucking overcome.
Yeah. Multiply by like council consternation. man, I've got a body corporate to speak to.
You were going to try and sue someone
You were talking legal stuff. Yeah.
But I was joking about that because I would never bother to do that.
But also if one of us had gone, you know, you actually can, there's a thing for this.
Yeah.
You'd be looking into it.
If there was an online form for you to submit, maybe you would have submitted it in a second.
Submitting an online form is the easiest thing in the world. You just Google Australian Games Awards and you vote.
See, because this is the thing, like, you're actually lucky in a way that this happened.
Yeah, you should be thankful.
Out in the world where there you can pass the blame onto the council in some way.
Because
stubbing your toe on a couch inside, there's nothing but you. Yep. There's nothing but you sitting there going, you fucking stupid cunt.
You've the been there for 9 months.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So at least you get to kind of You get to let yourself off the hook a little bit.
I've got another one.
Nobody saw either. That's another good thing.
Late at, well, Uber Eats as well.
He got out of there.
Okay.
Yeah. He was already gone.
No witnesses.
Yeah, I want no part of this. Well, that was before he falling over.
I got up to do the thing of like, if you fall over, you've got to look at the nearest person, go like, it's a living. Yeah. Like, you've got to do a bit of a shrug.
Oh, I farted and shit myself.
Yeah. But instead I like just shrugged into the dark.
Let me ask you this just quickly. And also, let me just say, we were talking before the episode started about like, oh boy, not much news. And we haven't played much. What should we talk about? I was like, I think I know what I'm going to bring up.
Yes.
This will lead up a few.
Yes.
What did you order and how was it? Because obviously after that, it has a lot to live up to.
Yes.
Okay.
The pressure's on.
I'll tell you for real.
Yes.
There is a restaurant that is near where I live now that will deliver you only baklava.
I've heard all of this stuff off air.
Only baklava.
So yes. I bought a bunch of baklava.
Right.
That's why it was late, because it was like I had dinner, but hey, you know what? I'm going to treat myself. I'm in a new place.
To some baklava.
You've put together literally no furniture. Let's reward yourself.
I'm not at a party that I wasn't invited to because of political reasons.
Yes.
So not political reasons, because my ex was there. And
social reasons.
Someone made a decision that... That was the person they were siding with.
Yeah. Oh, really? You had that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm.
What?
It's not Tommy.
No. I was going to say the name of the person, but it's nothing to do with our podcast.
Was it Saturday? It was Saturday night.
Yeah. No. Friday.
Friday night. I don't think I was invited either.
No, neither was I.
Is it someone we all know?
Yes.
Oh, are we all not invited because of you?
Oh, no,
this had probably just been based on our level of friendship with said.
Yours wouldn't be though. You know who this is. This is terrible content.
I know. Yeah.
It's a well-known Melbourne comedian who also has a podcast.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yes. Yeah. I was at something else and then I met up with that person later.
Right.
Yeah, but
right.
I didn't see. Anyway.
Anyway. Dave Hughes.
Sorry, Adam. did the person... So they, our friend did was hit you up to say
no,
hey,
no,
not,
just didn't.
So you got nothing.
No, I saw them the day before as well, and just they didn't bring it up.
Wow,
yeah. How about that?
That's bad. I reckon that's bad form.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
I wish I had not gone. I mean, I barely went. I went to the after thing. I met them afterwards. So I was at something else.
Vote for biggest betrayal of the year at AustralianGamesAwards.com.au.
Mm. Yeah. Damn, that is, yeah, that is, politically speaking, that is brutal shit.
Yeah.
As an envoy to the Diplomatic Republic of fuck off cunt.
So all that's in your head as well as you're on the ground.
And so
clutching at your knee,
I'm
Peter Griffin style.
I'm at home on my own, fucking, like, I ordered a double night of Uber Eats because I ordered dinner.
Yep.
And I was like, you know what? I'm celebrating. I'm in a new place.
Yes.
I'm making it on my own. Yep. I'm a girl in the big city.
Yes.
And this city's never going to take me down. Ah! And then it hit the ground.
Who needs her / him?
So, yeah, anyway.
Her plus him.
But my baklava, not that good.
Oh,
right.
Who would have thought a place that only serves baklava would be able to fuck up the one thing?
I actually haven't heard of baklava in years. I'm Googling it right now to look at exactly what it is. Oh, yeah. It's
it's like that thing you put on your face when you go skiing.
Yeah, yeah. It's that suburb near Paran.
Yeah, it's... I don't have a third one.
No.
Okay. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's like honey, nuts and pastry.
I can't imagine that would be that satisfying in the best of situations.
No, it's a good dessert. When you get a good baklava, that is like my favorite fucking shit in the world, man.
Interesting. Interesting.
Okay. You know my least favorite shit? Ever hurting myself. And I'm all covered in grazes on my knees and shit. Anyway, whatever. It's
what
almost like somebody put it there in like an extreme attempt to try and take my life. Like
I've got one more thing about being angry.
Some sort of man who wanted to take a hit out on me.
I reckon after stubbing your toe... <it's>,
why are you talking about this?
It's making your own dinner... And then dropping it on all over the floor.
Yeah, that's
I reckon
bad.
That's number two.
Yeah.
And it's there's no physical pain, but the emotional pain, it really gets
what
to
if
you
spill a whole boiling pot of spaghetti all over your chest?
Mm.
That'd be hot.
Yeah, that'd be real sexy.
That's bad. I've got one. Missing a flight purely through your absolutely own fault.
Yeah,
ooh,
have never done
it. Yeah.
Right, I
haven't
did one.
Haven't even come close.
I have once, yeah.
I've kind of had a few. Yeah, I'm just on a... I've been on a real hot streak lately because I'm just having the thing where I fly too often and I'm too You know, it just makes you too confident. You're
it's like
getting
the bus. Kind of sounds to me like you don't fly often enough if you're missing them.
Interesting the take. Yeah. Interesting
Why wasn't I invited to this party? That I'm is such good company.
It is really. It is weird though, especially knowing your relationship with that person.
Oh yeah. Anyway.
I did a thing where I was flying to Perth and I looked at the time and was like, cool, that's when my flight leaves Melbourne. And then I get there and it wasn't on the computer screen. And I realized the time that I was like, that's when I leave from Melbourne, was the time that it was getting into Perth.
Ooh,
so
that's stupid.
Yeah.
That's real dumb
and
stuff.
And managed to get on. Like, what? Went up to the counter and went, the flight was leaving in like half an hour and went, I have fucked this. And she's like, nah, I can check you through. Luggage and everything. Wow. Still got on the plane. But that moment where I looked on the thing and it wasn't there.
Of course, luggage and everything. She wouldn't have been like, yes. You're going to have to leave your luggage. Yeah. But, maybe she would. I don't know. That, I've never been an idiot.
You can walk straight on. It is a lot easier to get you through if they don't have to get your bags on the plane.
True.
If you've just got carry on.
True.
But yeah, that moment where I looked on my email and saw what I'd done, out loud I went, how long can you continue living your life like the stupidest cunt of all time? Just so angry.
The person the person standing at the machine opposite you is like, I'm sorry. I didn't think we'd met.
Just a combination of like furious at myself and just wanted to cry. I was like, you're 32. what would it have taken to just check the email once more before you headed out to the fucking airport? Just all of the anger in absolutely internalized. And again, there being some outside party who I could have gone, it's their fault, would have been fucking heaven in that moment.
Yeah. Mine was trying to check in. This is a work thing.
This is so commercial radio. Yeah. When have you been angry? Give us a call.
Listening to this. That's when.
This one time I thought I was listening to a games podcast and they just talked about fury. Misplaced anger, a work
fury
thing.
And it wasn't even Darksiders 3 that they were talking about, which stars the character Fury. I thought that's what they were leading into. They'd already missed the chance for one great segue.
Was that when you were the second most angry?
This is me currently at number 10.
Someone booked me a flight under Ben Vernell, not Benjamin.
Right.
And so I put in Benjamin and I was like, well, I'm not getting the flight, am I?
Yeah.
And I just didn't type in Ben. So it was definitely my fault.
Yeah.
But also, my name's Benjamin.
You then realized or you just missed it? You didn't even
think
to try
it. Really? I missed it. Then later, I missed it like by a little tiny bit. I was like cutting it fine getting there in the first place.
Yeah, right.
And then I went to the counter and they were like, it's under Ben. You have to get the next flight and pay for it.
It's also the machine's fault that it can't detect that Benjamin is Ben.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's stupid.
A little strange.
I had a great one where I was flying to Sydney and I checked in online because I was just going for the night, so I just had carry on. Checked in online, got to the airport, was actually at the airport really early. Just was like, it was like pretty late flight in the day. I was like, I'll just get out there and just do some work at the gate. Sit at the gate for like an hour and then it comes time to board and I go to hold up the boarding pass. What I've done is I've checked in for my flight back and not for my flight there.
Oh!
and they're like,
how do you continue living your life?
Exactly. It's like, but also, so I'm there and
sorry I'm late for work. I sat in the passenger seat of my car for about 2 hours and I was so confused why I wasn't moving.
But the fact that I was there so early as well, and again, it was like, if I had just looked at my phone, I would have seen that the boarding pass had Sid Mel. Unbelievable. But then I went to their counter and they were like, oh, yeah, there must be some glitch in the system today because we've had a few people with errors in their booking. I'm like, yes, a glitch in the system. It is weird, though, that it lets you check in for a flight back before you've gotten the flight. Yeah. That is strange.
That's strange.
Anyway.
Well, I guess if it's like you're only there for a day.
I guess they just don't assume that people will be that stupid.
It is weird that a knife can just cut your throat. Like, why do they let it do that?
You can reverse the car, but you're meant to go forwards. I don't get it. I don't understand.
Anyway, I'm a fucking idiot and a big baby. And
speaking of fucking idiots who are big babies, Ben, you've been playing a game.
Very good. Third most angry I've ever been. I've been playing Hitman 2, the sequel to a little game I like to call
Hitman 2016.
Yes.
The second game named Hitman.
Yes.
And this is like the eighth Hitman.
Something like that.
That real Xbox naming style.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But I like what they've done. They've started afresh. They've gone Hitman 2. Hitmonchan is the third one, I think.
Do you know what? Sorry, that was very. You said the word fresh, and I was already thinking the word fresh because I was having the thought, how weird would it be if Xbox named their next Xbox Xbox Fresh?
That's not bad.
Fuck.
Like some name like that. Anyway.
I would love
New Xbox.
New Xbox.
Like New Xbox, yeah.
Yeah.
I would love to. If
Xbox
I ever made.
Ice.
If Ooh. I ever made a movie, I would call it whatever the title and then one. You know, because sure. just preempting, because when, you know, when yeah. you get around to sequels, that's how people will describe, oh, The Hangover 1. You know, I think that would be like a cool naming thing that you could do.
They did that with Battlefield, but that was like the eighth Battlefield. Yeah, right. Battlefield 1. Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
Nothing better than when you're out with someone and you order a Diet Coke, forcing them into the position of having to say, and I'll have a regular Coke.
I'll get a fat ass's Coke.
Oh, bunch of losers. I'm talking about us. Yeah, I've been playing Hitman 2. It's exactly the same as Hitman 2016. The end. That's honestly the end of my review.
But that's good though, right? Because you liked that, yeah.
It's actually packaged, or like the interface is presented where if you have Hitman installed, you can play Hitman from Hitman 2.
Oh, okay, right.
Well, all the levels are like Left 4 Dead 2.
Yes.
How that had all the Left 4 Dead 1 levels in it at some point. This is like just an upgrade. It's got 5 more maps, levels. And it's all out at once. It's not episodic. Like
that's what I was going to ask. So the last one was, they were bringing them out every couple of months. They bring out a new
over
map.
Over the course of a year, I think all 6 of them came in.
Right.
Plus the DLC and the temporary things. I actually found Hitman 1, 2016, 1, whatever, kind of confusing to play. Not everything was preloaded, even though I bought everything. Like, I bought it after it all come out. I had to like download stuff constantly, it felt like, just to play the levels.
The weekly challenge things, or the elusive targets.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't think I ever even did one of them.
Mm.
That timed stuff, Monster Hunter does it as well. I've never been into it.
I never engaged in it, but I never really had a problem with it. But now, so I got Hitman 2, like everything's already there, and there's an elusive target right now.
Sean Bean was
first. Sean Bean, yeah.
I think he might be done by the time this is out.
You're right. It was for like 60. I had 60 hours left when I was looking at it. I don't know how long that is. It's several days.
Yeah, it's a stressful thing because like the last 3 weeks I've barely had any time to do anything. So you just miss things like that. Yeah. And
I will say, I think a cool version of that at the moment is Mario Tennis on the Switch has been having these little month-long kind of co-op challenges where it's like a new mode where you play with other people online and it's there for a month and then it's gone. But once it's gone, then in the next update, it's in the offline modes.
Oh.
You can play it. Which I think is kind of a cool way of doing
that's
it.
That's the way to do it.
Like have it timed. And so playing it online with other people, they're very dumb incentives. It's like a different coloured Yoshi or whatever. But if you do it, if you partake in it when it's online, you get a little extra thing in the game. And then after that, it's just like you can play it offline with mates and stuff. Which is, I think, because you never have to feel like you're just absolutely, if you get the game too late or whatever, if you just get busy, like you miss out on this potentially like fun thing to do. It's kind of such a stressful way of running games.
Absolutely.
I hate it as well. I just don't like the if something can disappear, it makes me never want to engage with any of it.
Yeah.
Because if I play 9 out of the 10, that 10th one will always bug me at the back of my head.
Well, the fact that there are like 5 missions available right now, plus I guess some of the older Hitman ones that I didn't do, and this elusive target thing that was only available for a short time. It's like, why? I'm not going to play that.
Yeah,
I
want
to play the game that I bought and then I'll think about playing the extra
stuff. And when there's enough other stuff to do, it's like it doesn't need it.
And that's there is plenty of other stuff to do.
Yeah.
It's a huge game. In terms of like if you just went through and did each of the levels the way it sort of guides you into doing.
You could do it in 5 days.
You could do it less for sure. It's not, or at least the first one wasn't. I haven't finished the second one, but that part of it isn't the thing. You go back and there's all these challenges and it's like, okay, do it this way, motherfucker, if you think you're such a good hitman. And you're
totally.
Like, done.
Yeah.
What do you got? And they're like, something even harder.
Absolutely. It's not even like 5 levels becomes 50. It's like 5 levels becomes 5,000, basically.
Yeah,
There's a lot of different fun stuff. And it is one of those rare games where it's kind of fun to set yourself a challenge.
Yes, absolutely, yeah. Everything sort of responds how it should. Not necessarily realistically, but within the set of structures and restrictions that the game has presented.
Yeah.
It all kind of makes sense.
And it is very gamey in that way. Same as the first one where
It's not. This is not a sim.
No, it's got a sense of humor about it though, and it's like it embraces how silly it is.
Mm.
It's also got a co-op or a competitive multiplayer mode now,
right?
Where you can, so you're ghosts, and you're both trying to do the same thing. It says, "All right, each of you has to assassinate these two people with these two weapons or whatever. Here, go do it."
Mm-hmm.
And you exist in your own individual versions of the same level, but you can see the other person moving around their level, so they can't interact with your thing and fuck you up or shoot you or whatever. They're just a little ghost doing it in their own time in their level,
mm-hmm.
but you're doing it at the same time, and it's a race.
Right.
Does that make
like,
sense?
Like time, like online time trial-y kind of things.
Kind of, but at the same time.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is cool. Like it's not necessarily something I can see myself get massively into, but it's a nice little thing to have in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the same. If you never played the first one,
or any of them,
I don't know if there's a bundle that you can get that has here's two and one stuff all in it.
There probably will be in a few months. But
yeah,
maybe.
I think so. But there's also, if you buy two, you can just open two and go and buy all the other shit.
Like yeah,
It's in the same, you know, product.
I guess that's the bundle then.
Yeah.
Hitman 1 was fucking awesome. Hitman 2 seems just as good.
Yeah. It's bigger, apparently. The levels are bigger, but I don't think that really matters. Like, it's not really a positive or a negative.
It's just, it's five more levels for Hitman.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I better go in. I really liked the sound of the first one when you guys were talking about it. So, yeah, if this is more of the same, it sounds like good shit.
Yeah. I've played a few levels now, and The satisfaction you get from it, it's like it's solving a puzzle, but there's blood.
Yeah.
So it's better.
I'm going to talk about a couple of things that I have kind of had on the back burner for a little bit, which I've kind of never gotten around to speaking about because they were all kind of, I don't know, got overtaken by Red Dead and other things. The first being The World Ends With You. Which I got about, I got it just after it came out, basically.
Yeah.
Did you
Twewy.
Ever? Twewy.
Twewy.
Yeah. Twewy.
It's the only way is Essex being said by someone with a lisp. That's very specific. Towie is what they call. Continue.
It's like the podcast stubbed its toe.
neither of you have ever played this, right?
No.
So this is an old DS, Nintendo DS game.
Mm-hmm.
Beloved DS game.
Yeah, much hyped this remaster?
I would not call it a remaster.
Okay.
It's just a re-release.
Right. A repackaging.
Like a repackaging. Mm. Yeah.
I mean, I get that, like, they've updated the graphics a little bit to be cleaner and smoother than on a DS.
Fuck. I mean, I guess they've upscaled it.
Yeah.
I mean, they would have had to have upscaled it resolution-wise.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
In terms of presentation, when you look at screenshots. So, you know, the Switch gets a lot of flack for having a lot of remasters and a lot of re-releases and stuff.
And deservedly so,
I think a lot of the time that's... I think that's sometimes unfair. Like, I think
They're all more expensive than the PC equivalents.
Sure, yes.
Which is a bad thing.
A lot of them are Wii U games that they're pretending came out yesterday and charge that much for them. But they're $20 if you bought them on the Wii U just without Funky Kong.
Anyway, my point is, I think that if it's only a couple, if it's like Wii U era, which is still relatively recent and a very good game, just no one played it. I personally have never had a problem with that stuff, right? This, though, I think is, I'm saying I don't think the flack is deserved. I think in this case of The World Ends With You, the flack is very deserved.
Because it must be abysmal.
It is.
Yes.
It's a DS game from a very long time ago. It's a handheld that is still on a console that you can play handheld, but a console nonetheless.
Sure.
And it's $70 for an old DS game with nothing really added to it.
Well, so
no additional bells and whistles or anything.
There's a new chapter thing at the end, right? There's like a little side story.
There's an extra little thing added in there. I think to placate anyone who's played through it before.
Right.
And maybe that is. And you know, if you loved it originally on the DS and want to play it again in a higher resolution or whatever, then you probably don't care.
Mm.
But if you've never played it before, it's like, this looks like a flash game on a console
right.
for this much money.
Yeah. So like, if you remove yourself from that part of it. Sorry.
Knox is playing footsie with
me. I didn't mean to. I thought it was a table leg. I wanted to fuck this before. Table. If you removed all of that stuff from it, is the game all right? Or
It's hard to say because all of that stuff. So on the DS, I believe you would play it with exclusively the touch screen with the stylus, and you had, you kind of were controlling two characters at once. And so just the implementation of that in terms of how you play it, you either have to play it with docked, you have to use motion controls, which I have not done because apparently they are god-awful. Or if you're in handheld mode, you have to play it on the touchscreen, entirely on the touchscreen.
Right.
So the way that you battle is by doing this kind of different like swipes across the screen, which that's how you do combat. The story is very like JRPG, crazy storyline. The style of it and the music and everything is really great. Mm. Like it is really, really good. I know that at the time that it came out, people really loved it because it was like this very cool representation of Tokyo and very accurate to Tokyo. I feel like the sting of that has probably been taken out post playing Persona 5 because that's a more modern version of it. It's a more recent version of it. It's probably a more successful version of it, I think. But yeah, I mean, I like a lot of what it's doing. Like I like all the story and all the weird Japanesey stuff to it and all the RPG elements. It's just hard to see past all the other stuff with it. Yeah. You can get it on your phone. Like you can get it on iOS for I think $30 or something like that, which you probably may as well just do that. Like really, unless you really enjoyed it the first time around and you want to play through the new storyline and stuff. But I mean, and I think that's a bit of an indictment. Like, if something can run on the phone, and is significantly cheaper, I don't have a problem with the remasters thing. Like, as a broad thing, I'm kind of more case by case with it. Like, I think sometimes it can be justified. Like Donkey Kong is a good example where it's just like the game holds up. Like
yes.
It's recent enough that it's still fun and it's a solid platform.
I'm glad that was remastered and released because I got to play it and I loved it and it looks fantastic.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Yeah.
But this just feels like I can see that there's good stuff there. It could have been great if they had kind of stripped it back and done it from the ground up a bit more and just worked out a way to implement button controls into it, because it just sitting there with it in your lap and just swiping enemies with your finger, it's just not satisfying.
Right. And if the motion controls suck, then you can't even get the benefit of experiencing it on the TV.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I was playing it in bed for a couple of nights and I was like kind of able to see past it enough because I was playing it to talk about it on the show that week and then just didn't get around to it. And then haven't really been back to it since.
Yeah,
which kind of says a lot. It's just kind of sat there. I mean, maybe I'll try again a bit more. But it just really is hard to recommend for that price point. Yeah. I mean, maybe if it drops enough and you've been interested, like it is still a lot of it holds up and is good.
Mm.
And like I said, if you loved it originally on the DS, then sure, go for it. But yeah, for that price, even if it had just been a digital only thing, where they can then make it a lot cheaper, I think would be a lot better. The other one I played a fair bit of that I bought in Japan, which I think is a good example of a remaster, is the Okami HD remaster, which is out on, I think, everything now. Mm. It's not a 100% like ground up remake, but you can see that they've done enough to it that it looks current enough.
Right. Like that had like a PS3 remaster and has already kind of been, and I think on the PS4 and everything. So it's already been done up and done up and done up.
Yep.
So that's, no surprise to hear.
It's really great. Like it gets talked about as it was originally on the PS2, I think. And it was kind of, it was sort of an answer to wanting sort of an attempt to sort of do a Zelda game on another console,
right.
I think was the genesis of it. And that's
this came out on the bloody Mega Drive.
Oh boy!
It's very obvious that that was what was going on when you play it, from the tone and the setting and the characters and the way they talk and everything. So you play this this little wolf who is like a guardian of a village, and darkness descends upon the land. And
oh no!
You have to, yeah, it's
you trip
all
over some benches out the front of your
could happen
your
to anyone.
That Baklava side quest is a real brutal one, but it Yeah, it's all very like
Baklava is fucking sick, by the way. I just want to point that it's great.
It just makes me think of Aladdin.
Yeah. About a little more baklava. Don't mind if I do. Okay. Thank you for offering. Yeah.
Baklava, I hardly know her.
Hey, what?
Nah. So yeah, it's very based in kind of like old Japanese folklore and mythology and stuff, and the music and the setting and everything reflects that. And so yeah, it's very RPG quests, and you have this power of a paintbrush that you can sort of stop time and like use this little paintbrush to draw stuff on the screen, and you unlock different abilities for the paintbrush as you go along. So okay. It'll be like bombs or
how do you motion control or just normal?
I believe you can if you're playing it with Joy-Con.
Right.
On the Switch version at least, on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it's just like hold down a button to use the brush and then you just draw a circle.
Right.
And they're all very simplistic shapes.
On the PS2, it was definitely just use the right stick after pressing this button to draw. Mm-hmm.
You can use the Joy-Con on the PS2?
I don't remember. Maybe I'll try it out.
Yeah, no, well, let's look that up off air.
But yeah, the art style is really great. I think you would like it a lot, Ben.
Yeah,
like
okay.
The art style of it is really good. It's that cell shaded kind of look.
Mm. Looks like that a was Japanese around for a bit. Like water painting.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
It's really beautiful. It's got a really nice style. The only place it really shows its age is the beginning is very like kind of early 2000s-y handholdy tutorial kind of a thing.
It goes for ages too. Because I remember playing
for a fair
this
while
in like 2005 and doing that for like 3 hours and going, I'm not going to think about this game again for about
15 years.
Yeah. I mean, look, I was thinking that at the time, but then since then I feel like I've played a couple more things that are pretty recent. I mean, you know, Red Dead had a really long opening start to it. So I it was kind of something that I thought had gone away, and I'm like, oh, it kind of comes and goes a bit. But yeah, and again, It's on the eShop for I think $20 or $30. You know what I mean? Like it didn't come out as a full price release, and it's definitely a full game. Like it. So yeah, that's one I can definitely recommend a lot more freely than The World Ends With You, because there's more going on with it.
Like, yeah,
it doesn't show its age that much.
Mm-hmm. Okami. I barely know me.
That's actually good.
I've never really gotten to the core of what I'm about.
Mm.
I don't know what I want.
Baklava, apparently.
Hello.
That's your whole
I'm fully formed.
By the way, how much baklava did you get?
Like too much. It sucked.
Okay.
I'm never doing it again, because like 2 pieces of baklava, you're like, great, what a dessert. But if it's like, it was like this little box that was like, here's one of each of our types or whatever.
Oh, okay. So you had
so
to get
like
a full serve.
12 things.
Platter. 12 things of
Jesus.
Box. Yeah. So I didn't
11
eat,
p.m.
I didn't need them all one after the other. I was like, I kind of want to, but I'll leave the rest.
You ate them all at once.
So, no, I didn't eat them all at once. What do you think I am? A goddamn animal?
Yes.
Are they gone now? Or are you still working away through?
No, they're not gone yet.
Interesting.
Wow. Yeah. In the fridge?
I don't have a fridge yet.
Okay.
So that's part of why that I've gone, because you leave it for like a day and you're like,
well, I know
honey is a preservative.
Are they?
If honey is a key ingredient in baklava. But I don't know. I should throw them away.
Yes. Yes.
Or
don't do it at 11 p.m. at night.
Maybe give them as a gift.
Yeah.
To
someone who had a birthday recently.
Another thing I've played a tiny bit of is a game called Iconoclasts. Which is an indie platformer, which is on everything. It's on Steam, PS4, and Switch. And it's good. I'm really enjoying it so far. It's very, very similar to Owlboy in terms
of
style and presentation and mechanics. It's just a very well executed platformer with a lot of heart to it.
Mm.
It's got a storyline that's trying to really do a lot of stuff, and I think for the most part succeeding.
Right.
But it kind of just flew under the radar a little bit. I think it's worth checking out.
Okay.
It's a fun one. It's like pretty cheap.
Iconoclasts.
$10 or something. Yeah. If you liked Owlboy, I think definitely check it out. Or yeah, if you're just looking for a good, well-designed platformer, then yeah, I would say it's really worth a look.
Yeah, well, I'll never play it. I've got some little bits and pieces of news here. It's been like a quiet week.
Yeah.
Because it was Thanksgiving in the US. It was late November over here, and then mm-hmm. early December came right after that.
And we also are, when we're recording this, we're like 2 days away from the Game Awards.
Yeah.
Where I think there'll be a lot. We talked about it last week, but there'll be a lot to talk about next week.
Yeah, definitely. That. And yeah. there's the kind of funny games thing, mm-hmm. which has a couple of announcements of some kind. And then, yeah, the Game Awards will have some stuff too. So we'll talk about that next week. But in the meantime, Ubisoft club points will expire soon. Stuff's been happening this week.
Yeah, that's huge. How do you feel about that, Tommy? I know it's a company that's close to your heart.
Yeah, I was hoping we could not talk about it. I think I'll get too emotional. Yeah,
off the top of your head, because I know you keep a running tally, how many Ubisoft club points do you have?
69,000.
Yeah.
Wow, that's... lots?
I believe that's enough for a Rayman t-shirt.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I got... 80,000.
Okay.
That's enough for a Rayman beer cozy. Mm-hmm. That's what they call them in America. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Stubby holder is what we call them correctly over here.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I don't have any points.
Who gives a shit about this? They're used for buying like your in-game fucking...
Assassin's Creed, a new hood.
A little hat for your Xbox avatar that... Yeah. Microsoft have hidden away in the settings because they're embarrassed about them now.
But I would imagine some people out there are up in arms over
yeah.
this.
People yeah. People are up in arms and everything, though. That's people true. Are going to be like, I can't believe you eat baklava.
Yeah. No, or like, I can't believe you didn't finish it. It's so good.
But I can't believe you ordered that much of it. You fucking idiot. Of course you weren't going to finish it. You were just in a bad mood. What else here? We've got... Bethesda's like fucking big ass expensive pack that you came for Fallout 76, so like the, you know, big nuke edition or whatever.
Yeah.
They promised for it to come with a canvas bag, like a nice canvas bag.
Mm. Yeah.
And there's a bag. They weren't ready at time of launch, so they're like, we'll send it to you.
Even if they can't even get a fucking bag ready to send out before the game comes out.
It's really buggy. Sorry, guys.
Fucking is.
Yeah.
It's not even a canvas bag. It's like a fucking wrinkly plastic bag. It's a piece of shit.
Bethesda absolutely fucking suck. I'm sorry. What a shit company.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was in our group, or maybe I was just on Reddit today at work. Shh, don't tell the boss. But I saw a bunch of people saying like Bethesda have shit away all of their goodwill.
Yes.
They were a fantastic company that made revolutionary games, and now they're basically a laughing stock.
They are basically a joke.
There's an argument to be made even, and I've been sort of a fence sitter on this argument, that they were never good. And that all those games that came out like were just kind of lifting from other things and were like, you know, became the big versions of that. So
I'm
going to hear them out. Those people now.
Okay.
I've never played one of their games, but their style of how they do things... that's not true. I played a little bit of Skyrim. But their style of how they do things has just never appealed to me. It's always just looked very generic and very cookie cutter. And that was my big complaint of Skyrim, the bit that I played.
Fallout 4 as well.
I played a little bit of it with you guys, but I never owned it.
Right.
Like I came around to... It was like... It came out right after we started this pod. So we went to Ben's and we played through a bit of it, but I never had it. But it just... everything they do, it just feels very... Like Skyrim is just like, you know, my first fantasy world. Like to me, there's no... There's none of the design elements that I typically like in things in it. And it to me, with my eyes, it just looks like someone taking their first draft at like, this is what the wasteland would look like.
Yeah.
There's no kind of, spark to what they do. But that being said, I mean, it seems like there's an audience of people that really does love their stuff and their stuff has been really popular.
But then they just made some shit that was not appealing to any of those people.
Yes, exactly. And, and launching it and also now having too much of a track record of just launching stuff that is fucked and buggy and incomplete, which more and more developers are doing. But for some reason, they're a company that it seems just more egregious when they do it.
Well, like, speaking of launching stuff that's fucked and buggy and incomplete, the PlayStation Classic came out.
Yes. Oh,
that's getting a pile of shit.
Flogged.
Yeah.
Al Lowe. Leisure Suit Larry.
Yes, fame.
He's released the source code for.
No, he's selling it on eBay.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Okay, that's depressing then.
Yeah, it means he's run out of money.
Yeah. How has the creator of Leisure Suit Larry run out of money?
Yeah, so he's put it up on eBay like a bunch of games.
72.
We should also clarify, I think. Some people listening may not know this, but on our Patreon episodes, we talk about the creator of Leisure Suit Larry in pretty much every single Patreon episode.
Yes, that is not an exaggeration.
Yeah. He has a joke website called Allo's Joke Machine 3000.
Cyber Joke 3000. We've talked about it every month for about 6 months.
The Joke Machine.
The Joke Machine 3000.
It's called Allo's The Joke Machine 3000.
It'll randomly serve you up one of like about 5,000
yeah,
jokes.
Yeah, 5,000 to 6,000.
And all of them are bad.
Yes. Yeah, we've been doing a thing where we've been reading them out on our Patreon and it's good fun.
It's great stuff.
Because they're appalling.
Yeah, there's a search engine. So we put in our words relevant to what the game is that we're talking about and it's a great time.
Best case scenario is they're just not funny.
Yes.
Yeah. Worst case scenario, and more often than not.
The likely scenario.
Racist, yeah. Sexist.
Very sexist, yeah.
Homophobic. Sometimes homophobic, I think, is the most common one.
Sure.
They're all fairly common.
Followed closely by nonsensical.
Yeah. But I mean, that's what I'm saying. Best case scenario is this doesn't make sense, but no one's getting offended here.
Yeah.
It's like, as a comedian, I'm offended, but that's, I mean, we're getting off light here.
Oh, yes.
So he's got a bunch of like source code things from when he was at Sierra. So like a game called Soft Porn, which inspired Leisure Suit Larry. Anyway, it sounds like it was a nightmare over there back then.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can go buy them if you want. What else?
If I win on us on Sportsbet for the Australian Games Awards, that's what I'm spending the money on. Mm-hmm. I'm going to buy the source code for fucking.
I'm going to buy the source code for the CyberJoke 3000.
800-815-800-815-800-815.
Nice.
Funny. What else have we got here? Steam got rid of its Steam Link. Did we talk about that
last week?
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Might have been 2 weeks ago.
What's your source on these stories, Knox?
It's page 5 of Polygon.com, I think.
Eurogamer.net.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And it's page 2.
The Thinking Man's website.
Whatever. The news is the same everywhere.
That's fair. Yeah,
you can just read another paper and then write your own paper if you want.
Hey, that's kind of what I do for my job.
Just quickly speaking of, because it does sort of tie into remaster talk and stuff, a rumor of something that'll be announced at the Games Awards is a Metroid Prime trilogy on the Switch. Cool. Re-release of Metroid Prime trilogy on the Switch, obviously because they have the fourth one coming out, which I would 100% be into.
Yes. Yeah, that's
all three of those games in the one package. I played a little bit of each of them on the Wii, and it's been so long since... they did nothing with that franchise on the Wii U.
Yeah.
I feel like it's been long enough, and if they're all kind of upgraded a bit, that would be fucking great.
Yes. I played the first two on the GameCube and the third one on the Wii, and then all three of them again on the Wii.
Oh, yeah, GameCube games, yeah.
And they control so much better with a controller rather than the Wii Remote, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So I would love to have three remade with controller support.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That'd be sick.
Even just, you know what I'm into? Because I was playing something that used it the other day. I've talked about it a lot. The slight having the pro controller, but just the slight gyro for aiming.
I hate that shit.
I love it.
Get rid of it forever.
I'm absolutely off it.
No more motion controls. Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to do it. But when it's there as an option, I love it.
I want to be able to play a game even if I'm strapped into one of those Black Widows or whatever those old torture machines were called.
Oh, yeah.
Iron Maidens.
Yes.
I want to be able to get into one of them and still be able to play myself some Duke Nukem.
3D.
It would have to have all the motion control stuff removed because it's handheld.
Unless they just went the way of The World Ends With You and just said, hey, you have to use it. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, I would very much be into those coming out. And that's an example I'm talking about of the re-release stuff not always being that. I mean, yeah, it makes perfect sense because it's been so long since they came out. And if they're doing a fourth one, why not get people back on board?
Yeah.
Did we talk about Red Dead Redemption Online last week?
Yes.
What time is it? What's the date?
Yeah, I still haven't played it, but I did finish the main story.
Oh, actually, I mean, I hadn't played it last week, and I have played online now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's bad. I don't like it. Right. I don't like anything about it.
Right.
It's I'm having connection issues when I am playing it. It's more gamey than the single player, if that makes sense.
Like rabbit meat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It tastes awful. But no, it's like icons floating above your head and like seeing like little voice chat things popping up. It's not immersive, basically.
Yeah.
What if everyone in voice chat is going, well, I'll get my dick on, partner.
That would help.
Hey, give me a can of them beans.
Did you
beans.
Say get my dick on, partner?
Yeah. I'll get me a can of them beans, partner.
Yeah. I mean,
oh, you're rolling up little doggy there, partner.
I changed my mind. It would make it much worse.
Hey.
On my experience.
Hey, you fucking your mom, partner. I can't say anything else that you might hear online now.
Okay.
Yes. I don't like it. I think it's bad. I think the game loop is bad. I think it somehow feels like the graphics are worse.
Right.
I'm not into it at all.
Right.
Yeah, which is a real shame because I was hoping to be into it.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I've sunk so much time into the main game that I kind of have just always felt like if I just finish it and then I'm out, I've absolutely gotten my money's worth out of it. Like, it seems like I still haven't given it a try. It seems like it absolutely will not be for me. I'll give it a go, but I just don't mind. Yeah. I don't care. It's for someone and great, but I don't need to sit there and play something that I've bought. I don't need to be attached to it for fucking years on end to feel like I'm getting my, you know, money's worth out of it.
Yeah.
But yes, like I said before, I did finish the main story.
Yeah.
I think since – I don't know if I talked about this last week, but I had a couple of sessions where I sat down to play. I was like, I'll just get in late, get in your bed. I'll do one little mission and then I'll go to bed. And then ending up in a bit where you kind of – a whole bunch of missions that kind of all kind of string on from each other and there's no – kind of, there wasn't a clear point to be like, okay, I'll turn off now and put the controller. I was just in. So I had a few mammoth sessions where I was getting to bed at 2:30, and I got to say, I've finished the main part of the story and loved it, but thank God, because it was on the night that I finished it, it was another mammoth 3 a.m. session. Yeah. I was just like, I absolutely cannot keep living this way.
It really builds up pace towards the end of the main story there. And I've still got the epilogues to finish like you do. And I think the plan is for us two to finish those.
Yep.
And then we'll talk fully about spoilers and shit in
we'll
a separate
do it in
section.
Yeah. But I don't think I said this to you, Ben. I don't think I've ever played anything before. That,
correct. That not all the way through.
That get fucked. That demands that I finished this.
Yeah,
like, come on.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't think I've ever played anything else that. And I'm sorry if I've said this on the show already, but that you have to fuck your own life up to play it properly and to finish it.
Yeah.
Like I was saying this in our Facebook group. Like people who have full time jobs and are like. We're like, I've finished it within a week. Like, I actually don't understand how you do it.
Yeah.
Like, it's so fucking demanding. By the end, I was like, I am in an abusive relationship. Like, I've got to get away from this thing.
Yeah,
I've got to go to the cops and report this game.
I liked that. And we were talking about it, Tommy, the other day. And I said it felt to me like reading a book that I loved. But I've had this with books that I've loved where the closer you get to the end, the more invested you are in getting to the end and the more you want to do it. So you spend more and more time reading and then you get to the last page and you close the book and you're like, oh, damn. I'm sad. I'm sad that I did that. I'm sad that I rushed through it.
That's why I have that cushion on my couch that has weaved into it. Reading a good book is like having sex. It starts and then everything you just said. Just rewind the podcast 30 seconds. And if you imagine he's talking about having sex, Marone, it's funny.
Yeah, yeah, good stuff. Closing
Mark
the
Marone.
I finished it and then it was that late that I was like, I guess I'll go to bed now. But then because I had been playing it for...
It was that late that I was like,
bedtime.
I'm going to have to go to bed.
Yeah, I sounded very simple there. But my point was, I was like...
Now I'm just thinking about the sex analogy as well.
I was like, I'll go straight to sleep. And then because I'd done the entire last chunk of it all in a row and there is like a lot to process in it.
Yeah.
I just kind of couldn't sleep. So I was like, all right, I guess I'll sit up for another hour and just like read or something and just kind of like slow my brain down because I was just like... buzzing from all the end of it and
decompress from this entertainment product.
Yeah,
yeah, but it's crazy. By the end of it, you're so that's why it was like it needed hours at a time for me to play, and it didn't feel at certain points it didn't feel passive at all. Like it felt. You know, you're very active in it.
Yeah, I think the best way to play it, or you get the most out of it, if you allow yourself to like partially role play as Arthur.
Yeah.
Like and that sounds lame saying it out loud, but I think that's
true.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, boy howdy. I mean, I don't
boy
think
that, howdy.
Even if I'm loving.
Give me a look at them horse there, boy. I don't think this sounds anything like an old West dude.
No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't at all. Neither of us think that either.
Why not, boy? Are you sure?
Why are you saying I don't think it sounds like that, as if we're going like, Adam, that sounds so much good. Like a Wild West
guy. The best cowboy I've heard.
I've got a snake in my boot.
It doesn't sound like anything. It honestly doesn't sound like anything.
I'm a West man. God. You ever seen a door open just the one hinge? No, every door I walk through has one door on either side and two hinges.
The saloon.
Saloon doors. Mm. Don't you take words out of my mouth.
I preempted you.
I
drew first.
Out here, things move at a little bit different pace.
They call me Drew First McGrew.
Nice. But yeah, it really, like I, even in stuff, other things that I love, I'm not able to sit and play for that long.
Yeah.
I found myself just really pulled into it in a way that, yeah, I have a pretty short attention span. I get very aware of the time when I'm playing games. I'm like, okay, I got to go do something else now. But with this, for whatever reason, it was just, you know, never in consideration of like, well, this is, yeah, I'm just going to do this for 5 hours.
Yeah.
Which, yeah.
I think that is interesting in itself. Like, it doesn't make the game a perfect game or a better game than games that don't do that to you.
Mm.
But it is this new kind of experience with a game. Like, and I love it, but I also can separate that and look at that as some other kind of weird thing that it's doing.
Yeah, I feel like I've definitely had it with other games in the past as well, but it is doing a good version of that same thing.
Well, I think it's more clear delineation between like this thing that we're talking about and how good the game is. Previously, you might have felt that way because the game's so good.
Yes.
But this, it's almost different. It's like, no, it's more like a page turner or like, you know, a trashy book or something where it's like, I just can't stop.
Well, this is the way I was thinking about it. Was like, I think it's definitely the best experience that I've had this year, perhaps ever. But I don't think it's the best game.
Right, that sums
as
up.
As a game, I don't think it's the best game, agreed. But it's easily the best experience.
We're coming into doing a Game of the Year episode.
Yeah.
And I'm really thinking about how to do the best cowboy voice possible.
What
about this one?
Doesn't seem like you've been thinking about it at all.
Big old head on.
I hope you get joined into like a 5-hour marathon voice work session.
Well, it's too late for that because I've come up with the perfect voice already. You see that ravine over there? I live in that ravine.
Absolutely.
Tell you how many trees there are here. 1 million trees. I'm going to climb every one of them. All right, we're done here.
All right, that'll do.
I don't know, just about do it.
All right, yes, big episode next week. We'll have the Game Awards. We'll have Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
There's also a couple of other things out this weekend that I think look good.
Maybe play Just Cause 4 because I've played 2 and 3 and I liked them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It is getting bad reviews, but I will give it a go, nevertheless.
I'm definitely going to play Smash Brothers.
Yes, I will also play that.
Great.
Yes.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Guys, thanks for listening. Filthycasuals.com.au for links to all the other stuff that we do. We'll see you next week. And until then, as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
Me, I'll come back now. You're here. I'll tell you what, if you don't come back, I'll suck on my own dick. I'll tell you what, I'm a flexible cowboy. I hate this character.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.